Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 Podcast with Matt and Tommy. Yep, it's time to talk about how much the grid is going to change with new talent for next year. And judging by what Tommy was saying before we started recording, this could be very, very sad indeed. But let's not bite the bullet here. Maybe I've been cooking with my grades.
I hope we get changes. Of course, a lot has changed with Hamilton moving and we're sort of waiting for that second piece of the puzzle to move, because Hamilton going to Ferrari, of course, leaves the Mercedes seat open. And as a few people have mentioned, until that seat is filled, I don't think anyone's going to commit to what they're doing, and then everything will fall into place. So hopefully that will also mean new talent, because...
And not just shuffling.
We need new talent in Formula One. I think the last race showed that, because it made it exciting.
Tom Bellingham, 35 years old, making the grid for 2020. Oh, you'd be 26, wouldn't you? 36, sorry, not 26.
Yeah,
and you look 20. No, you don't even look 26. You look 16. Anyway, before we dive into this, we need to share a 5-star review, which we haven't done for a while. If you want yours to be read out next time we do this, then please leave us a 5-star review. Let us know why you love this podcast. It helps us out massively. This one is from Diamant580 in France. I love listening to Matt and Tommy. They always make my day. It really feels like you're with some friends talking about the amazing sport that is Formula One. I always listen to this podcast when I'm feeling anxious, and it's really helpful. Helps me relax and think about something else. Keep up the good work, guys. Love you. P.S. It's good to see that I'm not alone in my Ferrari pain. Forza Ferrari in brackets. Thank you so much, Diamant. Appreciate that. And yes, you are not alone. There are many suffering Ferrari fans out there, but one day it will change. 2025, when Adrian Newey signs on the dotted line. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about drivers and new talent. How we're going to grade this is essentially out of 10, how likely we think each driver that we've selected in this list will get chosen to drive in 2025. 10 being it's set in stone, 0 being no hope in hell. So let's begin with Ollie Bearman, the man of the moment, the current Ferrari and Haas reserve. We of course know from his debut out in Saudi Arabia, where he had an amazing race, finishing P7 for Ferrari, and also was P6 in his debut Formula 2 year last year with 4 wins. How likely will he join the grid? I am going to go for an 8 out of 10. I think Ollie Bearman has shown some very, very big potential that he could be on the grid, and is ready to be on the grid for 2025. I think it depends a little bit on whether K-Mag manages to do 22 more trains and actually wins Hülkenberg the championship through that, or if he isn't particularly good and Haas decide to go in a different direction. I think it is pretty... I don't want to say any higher than 8, just purely because you never know in Formula 1, but I do think that Ollie has shown, not just with that, but also with his Haas practice sessions that he's done, and he's got more practice sessions this year. I think he'll continue to impress and be on the radar of some team, and Haas makes the perfect sense, I think, to go for in 2025.
Yeah, I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Ollie Bearman. I think it will, of course, be Haas if it does happen. It just depends, like you mentioned, on K-Mag and whether... his performances pick up. Of course, he had a subjectively good race in Saudi Arabia, however way you want to look at it. And if he continues doing a good job and not being way off Hülkenberg and delivers good performances, then Haas maybe think, oh, well, we'll stick with the experience because we're going to be getting points. But I think Behrman has shown that everything was thrown at him in Saudi and he still delivered. So I don't think he'd be a kind of rookie. Maybe they're scarred by the Schumacher and Mazepin season where they caused millions of pounds worth of damage and they thought, let's never put a rookie in again. But I don't think that's fair for it to basically stop new talent coming in. So yeah, gone 4-7.
Zane Maloney is up next, the current Sauber reserve, or kick, or whoever you want to call him, who has had an amazing start to the year in Formula 2, leading the title. He won the first two races in Bahrain, and he was also the runner-up in Formula 3 in 2022. How likely do I think this is going to happen? 2 out of 10. I think unless Zane Maloney ends up winning every single race from here on in to the end of the Formula 2 season and does one of the most dominant displays ever, I just can't see it happening, at least for 2025. If he wins the Formula 2 championship, you can bet your bottom dollar he will be sat on that pit wall as Formula 2 champion, not being able to race in Formula 2 anymore, but not having a seat in Formula 1. Not, you know, any disrespect to him, but there are other drivers waiting in the wings that I think will be chosen before him if there is that selection open. But yeah, I don't think Zane will be on the grid in 2025.
I've also gone for a 2 out of 10 for Zane Maloney.
It's giving driver ratings vibes. This is giving like a Zane's just done a Formula 1 race. But anyway, sorry. Yeah,
he certainly wouldn't have got a 2 out of 10 for his performance so far in F2. He's been very good indeed. But I think the biggest problem here for him is a certain Teo Pourchaire, who is also waiting in the wings at Sauber.
Spoiler alert for the next driver.
Wow. But of course, if he has a great year, even if he has a great year and Zhou Guanyu's performance drops off, or Bottas decides that, you know what, I do just want to make calendars or whatever.
which was great, by the way.
It was a fantastic cause. Yeah, many bantering. But if that does happen and there is a seat free at Kicksalber, I think Teo Pourchaire would be like, hello, I've been sat on the pit wall. Why have you given it to Zane Maloney? And of course, he's got the credit in the bank of also, like, say, if Zane Maloney does win the F2 championship, he'll be like, well, I won it first. Come on, guys. I think that's going to hinder his chances, but an exciting young driver, nevertheless, and one that'll definitely be on people's radars, particularly if he keeps doing what he's doing in F2.
Next up is Teo Pourchaire, who is the current Sauber reserve driver as well. 2020 Formula 3 runner-up, 2022 Formula 2 runner-up and Formula 2 champion last year. He's now racing in Super Formula. Tommy, hit us with your grade.
I've gone for a 6 out of 10 for Teo Pourchaire. And this is mainly just because I feel like Sauber won't change their lineup potentially and might stick with it now, because, and you've also, there's also that talk of obviously Audi coming in, and if a Carlos Sainz did go there, that already takes up one of those seats if someone drops out. So it's going to be difficult for a young driver to do that. I think with young drivers, if we ignore the Oscar Piastri situation, was a very unique situation. A lot of the time, it is a case of young drivers join an academy and then hope that they peak at the right time when a seat is available. That is just how the system works. And I worry for Teo Pourchaire that the sad reality of winning F2 means you have to sit on the sidelines. He's doing Super Formula, of course, and it's a great series. And can prepare you for Formula One. We've seen that with Gasly before and other drivers. But I just worry that with the shake-up that someone might want to go to Audi before they change, and who's going to vacate the two seats that they've got currently.
So for me, I have also gone for a 6 out of 10 for Théo Pourchaire. It does just feel like, you know how you've got the meme of the swimming and the kid being held up and then someone underwater. I don't know. Like, I feel like if the opportunity arises, just like you, Tommy, Pourchaire will probably get the call up for Sauber. But there's also part of me that, like, I just feel like he might not get the call just purely because of how Formula One is working at the moment. Bottas, I still think Bottas has got a few more years left if they continue with him. And look, he's a race winner. I know he's nothing, you know, special these days and is just bantering around most of the time, just having a great time. Would they shake that up? I'm not sure. Obviously, it depends on where Carlos Sainz goes. Is Sainz really going to go to this team in 25? All these things, these moving parts mean that I can't give any higher than a 6 out of 10 for Pourchaire. If anything, I feel like that maybe is even a little bit high, to come to think of it. But I've locked in a 6 now, so I have to explain why. It does feel like maybe it'll be a sad story for Théo Pourchaire, but look, we'll have to wait and see. It must be quite hard for him to, you know, you win Formula 2. You're like, right, now's my time.
And it's also insane that they can be like 20 years old and you're like, but it is true that they're 20 years old and you're kind of like, oh, you've missed the boat a bit there. Like, how is that a thing?
But whilst it does... Fernando Alonso, 43-year-old Chad. chilling. Or 42. But anyway, we now move to Felipe Drugovich, 2022 Formula 2 champion, Aston reserve driver since 2022, and also did 2023 pre-season testing with Aston after the Lance Stroll injury. Hit us with your grade as well, Tommy.
I have gone for a 1 out of 10. And that's not because I think Felipe Drugovich isn't deserving. It's because a certain someone, it's the program that he's in, is Aston Martin. And there's a 42-year-old Fernando Alonso driving incredibly well and has finally got a good car underneath him. And Lance Stroll, who will never leave that seat. So that's the difficulty for Drugovich, is that and even more than Pourchaire, it's two years ago that by the end of the season, you know, it'd be 2 years since he won the Formula 2 championship, and he won it in spectacular fashion. He dominated it. He was sensational. And I think he did deserve a chance, but sadly,
he's in the wrong academy.
And he's in the wrong academy at the wrong time. And I don't think he's any less talented than a lot of these drivers. And I'd love to see him get a shot. I'd have loved to have seen it, like, no ill will on Stroll, but I'd love to have seen, just out of curiosity, how he'd have done in that first race in Bahrain. But Stroll came back, did a great job, to be fair. Gone for a 1 out of 10. I just can't see it happening for him.
I've gone for a 2 out of 10 for Felipe Drugovich because my mind is racing right now. Fernando Alonso is obviously going to Mercedes in 2025, so it's going to relinquish that seat, open it up. But would Aston Martin then sign Drugovich? And then you have Drugovich and Stroll, a rookie, and then Stroll, who just, you know what I mean? I know that obviously the Fernando Alonso thing is not set on.
Stroll's an experienced driver, but he doesn't feel like it.
Exactly. But I feel like Flavio Briatore and Toto Wolff are having a coffee the other day as well, that was pictured and has been circulating around. So that seat might be opening up. I tell you that. Honestly, I might have absolutely chefed it up right now if Alonso does go to Mercedes in 25. But then what does then
Aston
do? Would
it be Drugovic? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, would they sign like Carlos Sainz or something?
Yeah, I think they would. They've shown that Stroll, I think Lawrence has shown that he wants to put very competitive drivers against Lance.
Yeah. So, look, I think Felipe Drugovich, just like you, Tommy, is an incredibly talented driver, but he's with the wrong team because there's only one movable seat. Unless Stroll decides, that's it, I'm done, I can't be bothered anymore. There is one seat and you're waiting for Fernando Alonso, who looks like he's going to go till he's 50, to move to a different team, which he does love doing. He's been to many different teams in his career. It is a bad thing that Stroll is there, because that limits your options more. Because is Lance Stroll really a team leader? Is he someone that could win a championship if Aston Martin give him the car? I don't think so. So yes, it's a very difficult situation for Drugovic to be in.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Jack Doohan is next, current Alpine reserve driver, runner-up in Formula 3 Championship in 2021 and third in Formula 2 in 2023. How likely will he be on the grid? I am going to go for a 0 out of 10 for Jack Doohan. No disrespect to him, but you know, I think there are better drivers waiting in the wings at other teams that could potentially, you know, go, nope, I'm done with this driver academy. I'm going to go to another team that's got a seat available. Jack doesn't have, when you look at the other drivers, the best CV going either. Like he's obviously got a little bit of experience and he's an Alpine reserve driver, but you've got Ocon and Gasly, who might both just rip up their contracts at the end of the year because they're driving a dustbin. But if they don't, I don't think they're going to go anywhere. So where does Jack Doohan go? I don't see it personally. So sorry, Jack.
Me neither. I've gone for a 0 out of 10 as well. He's had a good time in single seaters, if not unbelievable. So if I keep saying that,
but not
you
say
you take it the wrong way,
you know, I know it, because that's what you say.
He's had a good time.
He's had a good time, but it's not been unbelievable.
But it's not been unbelievable. I need to stop saying that. But look, he's finished third in Formula 2, 2023, like you say. And he's not in Formula 2 at the moment. That's going to struggle because at least the drivers that aren't in Formula 2 have won it. So they've got credit in the bank, like we say. And he's also got a big problem that he is an Alpine reserve driver. And we know for whatever reason, they don't like to put their junior academy in the car. We've kind of roasted them in the past for being this team that aren't willing to take a punt on a young driver to the point where it took Alonso to shun them for them to be like, oh, go on, Piastri. You have got the seat without even telling him because he'd already signed a contract to McLaren. So, and no offense to Jack Doohan, but he's not been on Piastri's level. So, and even then they reluctantly took Piastri, tried to take Piastri. So I just really don't see it happening for him, sadly.
Let's move to Andrea Kimi Antonelli, who is a Mercedes junior, Italian Formula 4 champion, ADAC Formula 4 champion, Formula Regional Middle East champion, Formula Regional European champion, rookie in Formula 2 this year, and massively hyped up by Toto Wolff. Just 17 years of age. And my grade for Kimi Antonelli is 10 out of 10. Signed, sealed, delivered. Goodbye, Logan Sargeant. Hello, Andrea Kimi Antonelli. I don't see him going to the Mercedes seat straight away. Prema have had a difficult start to the Formula 2 season, which has been difficult to kind of weigh him up. Although, to be fair, in comparison to Ollie Bearman, he's been very good. I don't see him being in a Mercedes seat, though. I feel like that's far too early of a jump. I think it would be silly for Toto Wolff to sign him. I know they're trying to make a big noise now that Hamilton's left, but that's not the noise I think you want to make personally. Give him a year in Williams and then promote him in 26, in my opinion. But I do think he's going to Williams. Just there's been too much hype. Unless Antonelli bins it in every single race from here on in, he's on the grid next year.
Yeah, I've gone for an 8 out of 10. There's hype around him. I know a lot of people are jumping on it, saying he's too overhyped. And I do think there is a lot of pressure on him. But people in the sport know when they see a star. It happened with Max Verstappen. It happened with Lewis Hamilton. And sometimes they get it wrong. But more often than not, there's been no one, I don't think, since Verstappen that's had a buzz around him quite like Kimi Antonelli. And of course, people will take the fact that he's not lapped the entire field in his first F2 race because there were reports of things like, oh, they did a wet test in blah, 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 and he was 40 seconds clear and all this kind of ridiculous story that wasn't even true. And it just builds this hype up.
That's
too much.
That's F1 Twitter for you, isn't it?
Exactly.
If someone puts something in quotation marks, ah, that's believable. That's it.
Exactly.
Yep. I believe everything.
You just have Paddock in your name and it's fine. But he has done a good job so far. He's new to these type of cars. Even the first race when Prema were absolutely awful, he did a better job than Ollie Bearman. And look what Ollie Bearman's done in Formula One. It sounds insane to say because maybe people that don't understand Formula 2 as much won't understand, but I know it's a spec series, but the car also does matter and teams can be better than the other. And Prema weren't there in the first race, but I think he will deliver. And I can see, like you said, like Williams would be a great chance for him.
Yeah. I'm just so certain. I think that Logan Sargeant is gone at the end of the year, especially now that we've looked at his first few races this year when, you know, he's been sort of cotton-wooled and wrapped in it by Daddy Vals, James Vals, that is, obviously. I don't know why I just used his Twitch name, which I usually use. A lot of people are probably like, what the hell have you just said? But no, come on, James Vals could leave me off a cliff with his voice. But yeah, I think that, I think it's set on. I think Logan loses his seat. Who else would go to Williams if Logan loses a seat? Who do you think?
Exactly. It would be someone at the topper teams that is sort of willing to essentially take a downgrade at Williams and just sort of stay in Formula One because they don't want to leave like a Kimi Raikkonen did at Sauber, for example. So
maybe. I can't see. Okay. Final driver, Liam Lawson, the current Red Bull and RB reserve, replaced Ricciardo and Zandvoort and hugely impressed in his short Formula One spell whilst Danny Ric was getting better. Tommy, what is your grade?
It's a 10 out of 10. I am convinced that Liam Lawson has something in his contract that says that he has to be in Formula One next year, or if one of the Red Bull drivers goes because of how well he did when he stepped up. So I really can't see how he doesn't get a chance, whether that's with RB or even Red Bull. I don't think Red Bull is going to happen because Perez is doing a great job. But I do legitimately think that it was in his contract that he must get a seat there.
Because contracts are worth their weight in paper.
I know, but they can't afford to lose him to another thing, and I think he would have got snapped up by someone else if that was the case based on how he did. So I can see Lawson definitely getting a drive next year, because, you know, Daniel Ricciardo doesn't perform well, he's got one there. Yuki Tsunoda maybe hasn't, he's done very well, of course, and I think he's maybe delivering well, but the Honda partnership's ending at Red Bull and he might maybe make a move to like be an Aston Martin reserve or something. I think Liam Lawson is surely like a shoe in there.
Okay. I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Liam Lawson. I am not fully, absolutely 100% categorically convinced that there are no possibilities that he will not, that, you know, that there will be something that goes wrong for Liam Lawson, especially when it is Red Bull and whatnot. And, you know, you look at the drivers, I don't think he goes to Red Bull, no chance. But, you know, you look at RB and you go, all right, well, if Tsunoda's doing really well, and Daniel Ricciardo is very much the favourite child of Red Bull, so does he manage to convince for one more season if he does have a bad season? I don't know. But that's the only thing for me is that, you know, they'll go, oh, no, Liam, no, it's fine. You're young. We'll get you in 26. New regulations, you know, come in then, sort of thing. I just feel like there is that tiny slither that might happen. I hope not for his sake because he was really, really good. And he's, like we've been saying earlier, peaked at the right time. He is in the right academy to have an opportunity and also did a great job when he was called up at last minute. So definitely deserving of being on the grid. And I hope it does work out for him. And that is that, Tommy. We have graded all of the young drivers that have the best opportunity, or the worst opportunity for some of them, waiting in the wings. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, please, Formula One teams, give these new drivers a chance, because I think
Max Verstappen out, Liam Lawson.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but... I think the last race showed that we need new talent in Formula One. It makes it exciting. I don't think the fact that the grid is exactly the same has helped our sort of maybe helped an underwhelming start to the year, because there's no storyline of like, oh, how's this driver doing? How's he going to get on against his teammates? All the same. So I really hope that, of course, in 2025, we've seen the shuffling of drivers around, and because of Hamilton, and it's all going to kick off. I just hope that it's not just shuffling the pack. We also get new talent in as well.
I agree. And if it is the shuffling of the pack, then Formula One, listen up. It's time to introduce more teams, okay? Just bring them in. Stop being silly right now, okay? That's it. That's my final thought. Take care. Adios. Lots of love. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.